Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. I'm broadcasting live with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. It's great to be back with you and to share from the Word of God. You know, I love preaching. God designed me in my mother's womb and set me apart to preach. You know, I've done secular jobs. One of my jobs which I liked so much, you know, in my life was when I worked for the power company in Zambia. I rose very quickly. I became big boss very quickly. When I say very quickly, I'm talking of 5 years of training, you know, on the job training. But one thing that really inspired me so greatly was to see when I go to build these substations, which were like 25 MVA, 50 MVA substations, giving power supply to the copper belt power mines, copper belt copper mines. I built these substations from scratch following the schematic drawings, layouts, and, you know, cabling, hooking up cables, and doing as much as I could pertaining to the way the architects laid out the substation. I worked with the riggers, the rigging team, and then I had my own electricians who were working under me. But you see, to see that thing commissioned, when the chief engineer came, actually he was my head of department, like Sarge Den, my head of department would come, and commissioning day would check everything and would count down to the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and boom, power. And the big, huge transformer would begin to hum as power went through it. It would go boom, 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 boom. No, it gave me such gusto. I felt so good, man. I enjoyed that job at the big house, the swimming pool, at a company car, at company lunch, and a good salary. But when the Lord touched me and visited me and called me to the ministry, everything took a 180-degree turn. Initially, I wasn't thinking I was going to respond to the call, but you know what? Once the hand of the Lord is upon your life, it's better to obey than to dilly-dally. I never really dilly-dallied so much because the way it happened to me, the call came with such an impact. It shook everything, shook my home, shook my life, shook my job. Until by God's grace, I got a place to go to Nigeria, where I went to study for 2 years, got the Associate of Arts degree, and I was ordained to the ministry by Archbishop Ida Hosa, the Archbishop of the Church of God Mission International in Nigeria. I was a very good friend of the bishop. I was always at his house. I lived with him my second year in the Bible Institute there in Benin City. I lived with him. We prayed every day. 5 a.m. we were at the church to pray and seek the face of God. I experienced with this man of God that nothing is impossible, I'm telling you. The projects he was doing was like a game. The way he handled millions and millions of naira was like a game. But these were realities. He was never broke. For the time I knew the bishop, there was not a single day he was broke. I'm telling you. He had money all the time. And he was doing big, big, big projects. One time, people threw jealousiness. You know how these people can be jealous? They were jealous of him. He was preaching at the church, and yet he began building his own house. Some jealous people went and planted some landmines, whatever. I don't know what it was, if it was landmines or some explosives, and blew up his upstairs home to ashes, to dust. After the service, he came there. He held the dust and he said, "Devil, you are defeated. I'm going to build again." At the same spot, size of the original plan of the house he was going to build. And there stood a big mansion by the time it was done. Then he moved and built another huge house. Beloved ones, that's why today I'm teaching on overcoming small thinking. My time in Nigeria transformed me so greatly because I saw the exploits that the Archbishop Itahosa did with ministry, with television, with radio. This man traveled all over the world, and that impacted my life. And I said to myself, the God I serve is a big God. From that time on, I decided no small thinking in my life. When I came to Zambia, I founded the Pentecostal Believer Church of God, International, Incorporated. Got 5 acres of land, built a Bible school, built a sanctuary to seat 600 members, had missionary homes designed, had a house of missions, a mansion at the church plot. I got land for myself, 2.5 acres of land, to build my own house. Friends, we serve a big God. I traveled and crisscrossed the globe. I was in Europe. Every year I traveled to the United States for over 10 years. Finally, the Lord opened doors for me to come and study in Massachusetts for my Master of Divinity degree. In the meantime, I'd been with T.L. Osborne. I traveled from Zambia to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was with Kenneth E. Hankins in Tulsa for the camp meetings that they held every year. I was with T.L. Osborne with the big conferences they held for evangelists and missionaries. And I was there with ICBM, with Oral Roberts, as we held big meetings in Tulsa, Oklahoma, ICBM, with mighty, powerful preachers around the world. My life was impacted. I lived in hotels every time I came. Like in Tulsa, I was in the Camelot Hotel or the Grand View Hotel opposite Oral Roberts University. Everywhere I went, I was well looked after. I preached. Sometimes I stayed in homes, beautiful mansions, big homes. I stayed with friends who supported my ministry over the years, and they gave sacrificially to the ministry. I came to know that God is a big God. God opened doors for me. I started interacting with the government officials, heads of government, the president, the vice president, cabinet ministers, members of parliament, mayors, MPs. These were people I dialogued with all the time. Friends, I've come a long way, and this long way I've come has been a way of hard work and big thinking. One thing you need to know is, as a man thinketh, so is he. You will never go beyond the level of your thinking. For example, if you think only that you're going to have a small little house, one bedroom, and that's how it's going to be. You're going to have a small little house, one bedroom, with a little sink in a corner. But when you start to think big, I'm going to have a mansion, I'm going to have 10 cars to use in the ministry to get evangelists who come to visit my church. I'm going to have a 10,000 member church. You have that vision, you're thinking big. Guess what? It's going to come to pass. Right now on Blog Talk Radio, I minister to over 15,000 people around the world who tune in to what you're listening to me right now. Over 15,000 people. Listen to my broadcast. I have a page on Facebook under the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International. These are people who follow and listen to my teachings. Right now, we are close to 800 likes. 800, getting close to 1,000. You know, on Facebook, I don't just go make friends. Excuse me. You know, know, I don't just go make friends. I gotta know you. You know what I'm saying? When you invite me to become your friend, I'll come and check you out first. I'll check your page. I'll check who you are. And, you know, you might be making a friend with the devil. You know, somebody who's committed crimes, you know, and then you just click and make a friend. I don't do that. I'll set you out. I'll look. I'll see your page. I'll follow up and check you out and see that you are okay before I will accept your friend request. And when I'm sending a friend request, are people I've read about, people I know, maybe friends of my friends who are on Facebook. That's how I go. So you won't find me with 5,000 members. 5,000 friends, how do I know them? You know, who are they? I gotta know you, see? You know, this world is an intricate world. But one thing I've come to find out is that it's the way you think that things are going to happen. That's why today I'm teaching on overcoming small thinking. Let's turn to the Word of God in the book of Philippians. You can see here, if you are using a laptop, an iPhone, whatever it is, I've got Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13. Now, let's turn to the Word of God, Philippians, and chapter number 4, reading from verse number 11 and to 14. Listen to the word of the Lord. Philippians 4. He says, this is Paul writing, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. All things through Christ which strengtheneth me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Listen. Also, there's another verse there where he says in verse 19 of the same chapter, verse number 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Friends, we are talking of a big God. You know, there is a tendency for our brain to limit God. You see, your brain is going to envision God by the way you read, by the way you see him. But you see, many people compare God to the things that they can relate to here on earth. Anything you can relate to on earth is nothing comparable with the Almighty God. I've got this very nice quote where I say, "The God, Almighty God, who can do great and mighty things beyond my imagination." The God we save will do great things beyond our human imagination. Stories we read in the Bible, mind you, these guys were speaking and doing big things. They must have believed and trusted God so much. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Moses leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness? The people cry out for hunger, they got no food. Then God starts pouring down manna from heaven, feeding people for 40 years. And the Bible said their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Here is Moses speaking to a rock. Since when have you seen a man speak to a rock and water comes out of a rock? Promised land. God does not allow Moses to go in, but he says to him, "Anoint Joshua, your assistant, to take over from you." Because you see, there are laws you gotta keep with God. When you miss one thing, it can affect your entire ministry sometimes. Just that God is gracious and God is forgiving. Joshua takes over. Joshua does the same thing, sends spies at the final moment to go in and check out the land. He was one of the 12 who, him and Caleb, believed God that they can go in and possess the land. how they were going to possess the land, they did not know. They did not know that they were going to cross the Jordan as on dry land. They did not know that the priests were the ones who were going to stand in the water and the water was going to depart. They did not know that they were going to fight Ai and they were going to defeat these people in Ai, and then because of sin they were going to be defeated, but they're still going to win. Faith will put you over no matter how big a problem is. Remember, Moses did not know how God was going to work it out. Joshua did not know how God was going to work it out. But they spoke while they could not see the answer. They talked big even before they could see the answer. See, everybody, including Caleb and Joshua, saw the giants in the land. They saw the giants like other spies. They saw what looked impossible. You see what I'm saying? Because the 12 spies who went, including Joshua and Caleb, when they came back, 10 of them said, no, we are not able to go in and possess the land. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, you mean to tell me that Joshua and Caleb did not see that? They did. They saw that they were small. They saw that these giants were really big. But they put themselves in overdrive. They started talking the God talk. They started saying, we are well able to go in and possess the land. If God be with us, we shall possess the land and defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. You have to speak the answer before it appears in your horizon. You gotta talk big while you are in poverty. You gotta speak prosperity while you got no penny in your bank account and you don't even maybe have even a bank account. You're gonna start speaking big before you even see any building. You're living in a little ramshackle place with one bedroom and one living room and one kitchen. You should start speaking big right there where you can't see tomorrow, because these guys, the children of Israel, Joshua and Caleb, began to speak big even before they saw the actual deliverance in Canaan land. You understand? Start talking big before you see the manifestation of the bigness of your talk. Don't talk big while... Of what use is it if you have millions of dollars and you start talking big? No, I mean, you got the millions. Unless you want to have more millions, then you start talking more trillions. But you see, when you have the things you need, usually, you know, you're used to talking big. You're going to be walking in bigness and greatness. But when you're small, start talking big to defeat your smallness. You understand? Don't condescend to the level of how these natural circumstances have circumscribed you and put you in a little place to cause you to think small and to talk poverty and lack. You must speak big while you are in a small state. You understand? David did not start speaking big after he defeated Goliath. No! David began to speak big even before he even attacked Goliath, before he even swung that sling to get that stone and to kill the giant. You understand? Start speaking big before you see the manifestation of the things you are talking about. Call the big home while you are in a small house. Talk about the Mercedes-Benz car while you are walking. Call huge things that they'll come to pass when you're on a bicycle. Start talking about mansions when you're living in a one-bedroom house. You understand? That is how you kill small thinking. People who are not born in royalty, from the earthly perspective, like Queen Elizabeth of England, or the children, Harry, and, you know, all these children, they are born in royalty. So they don't have to work very, very hard like some of us to earn a living, because the money is already there. You know what I mean? Their parents are already royalty. We are royalty in the spirit realms. We are royalty because Jesus has made us so. But you see what? You have to begin to talk the talk of a royal child, somebody with kingly blood, queen's blood, kingly blood. because you have been redeemed with a price by the blood of the Lamb, changing your circumstances. Many ministries you see today, they began in lack. They had no money. They had nothing. Some of them had not even had a bank account. They had zero. But they began to talk big. They began to trust the God, the living God of Israel, and started saying, hey, listen, I'm building a bank. We are building a university. I'm getting a house. I'm building a home. And guess what happened? They have homes all over the place. David Wilkerson, he left, I think it's Washington State, and came to New York because he saw some needy kids. He started sleeping in the car in New York. He had no home in New York. Nobody knew him in New York. He went to the drug addicts, trying to put them straight. They almost killed him, but he stood his ground because of the call of God on his life. Until his passing, David Wilkerson was still reaching out to the down and out, those who are, you know, possessed by drugs, and praying that God's power will set them free. I went there at a ministry in Brooklyn, a Teen Challenge, and I taught them. And many times when before I came to the United States, I would come and visit the United States on a mission trip and preach. I always stopped over in Brooklyn and preached at Teen Challenge. When I was in seminary in Massachusetts doing my Master of Divinity degree program, I would come over during my vacation time when we had a semester break, and I would spend my time with Teen Challenge teaching. What am I saying? What I'm saying is you have to determine to do big things and they will come to pass. That man who slept in a car, David Wilkerson, he ended up being given homes upon homes, which he turned into rehabilitation centers. What am I saying? What I'm saying is the God we save is a big God. The God we save will see you through. You need to start thinking big. You need to start galvanizing your mind and talking as a king or queen. Don't talk like I'm poverty. I don't know where my life is going to end up. You know, I think, you know, I'm headed for destruction. Nothing works out for me. That's the talk of a defeated fella. Speak positive. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Can you imagine 12 people changing the world? Jesus had 12 disciples. But these guys were full of the Holy Ghost. Healing in Jerusalem, they took the message of the cross around the world. Here we are now, reading from King James Version of the Bible. The King of England affected, shook Rome, went to Portugal, he went to Holland. I was in Holland, I never knew Holland was so shaken by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've preached in Sweden, and the Swedish people are so given, most of them, to the gospel of our Lord. You even look at their flags, they are made in the form of a cross. Friends, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. We serve a God of miracles and wonders. We serve a God who doeth mighty things and exploits. What impact or landmark are you going to leave for the kingdom of God here on earth? What are you going to leave? You must be determined to do big things for the Lord. Listen, the Bible tells us here by the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul is saying he had experienced suffering and he has learned to be content. See what I'm saying? He had learned to be content because he knew that his life was going to change. So he had that contentment. And here, verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Just because you're experiencing lack, just because some things are not seemingly working for you, does not mean that's the end. Just because you're living in a one-bedroom house, that should not be your end. just because you've got no car doesn't mean that is your end. You see, our God is bigger than whatever the devil might try to bring in our path. Our God, B-I-G, big. I remember, you know, when God started opening doors for me, I started traveling. I went to Washington, D.C. We spent the night at the mall praying for the President of the United States. I went to Gettysburg to a pastor's church. He put me up with a newly married couple, and I ministered in his church the following Sunday. I started traveling. I went to St. Louis, Missouri. I was attached with another dear brother who had a missionary engagement in Europe. I started inviting these preachers up to come to Africa and build the work of the Lord. But you know what? In stopping thinking small, you must be careful who you mingle with too. Because sometimes you might mingle with people with very small vision. And if you mingle with people who have got small thinking, small vision, they will affect your performance. You must think big, B-I-G, and have friends that can propel you to higher heights. When you start, you know, interacting with people of small thinking, small talking, every time it's some rock, every time the devil's been having hair time on my life, every time, hey, I don't have any food at home, I don't know how the month is going to end, you know you are landing into some heavy waters. You need to change your language. You need to talk positive. You need to speak the language of heaven. You need to speak the talk of the kingdom. You need to talk like God talks. You need to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You need to say, oh, I'm going to have a mansion, and I'm going to have a blessed family. I'm going to have a big ministry that's going to touch the corners of the world. Talk big. Don't demean yourself. Don't talk yourself out of miracles. Don't talk yourself out of the greatness that God has made you to be. The people who knew their God, people like Elijah. See, when Elisha received the mantle of Elijah, you know what he said? Where now is the God of Elijah? See, we must ask ourselves, where now is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joshua, of Caleb? The same power that worked with Caleb must work with us. Eh? Being broke is not blessing. We must walk in abundance. We must do exploits. We must reach this world for Jesus Christ at every cost. Millions of dollars are out there waiting for us to be ready and pick them up and run with it and open stations and run with a vision and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Are you going to join us? We at the Mwamba World Outreach here in Dallas, Texas, are looking for partners. If you want to partner with us, send me a message to bishopmwamba@outlook.com or to Word of Life Bible College, the number 777@gmail.com. Say, Bishop Mwamba, I want to be a partner with you. I want to partner with you. I want to help you spread the gospel around the world. When you do that, listen, God is going to bless you. You're going to see the streams of heaven open up. Money is going to come upon you like rain pours upon its people when it pours down. For God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing that there will be no enough room for you to receive it. You believe that? Well, this is the bishop here in Dallas, Texas, with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, signing off and saying, hey, stop thinking small. Think big and do exploits. God bless you. We'll talk to you again. And Bye-bye. This is Bishop Mwamba saying God bless you.